7 out of 10 proctologists recommend listening to The Drew Marshall Show.
Thanks, Tim. You're such a tool. Well,
I figured, you know, with the level of clientele we're bringing in now, that would be an appropriate tag for you.
Michael Korn, folks, you all know him. He's a broadcast journalist extraordinaire. He is the author of Why Catholics Are Right. And Michael has become our sort of token go-to Catholic. And I thought, gee, you know, we need someone to discuss about these reports, that apparently Pope Francis has declared that everyone, including atheists, are going to heaven. So first, did the Pope actually say this, or were his words misunderstood? Could be. Is this a new Catholic doctrine, or have Catholics always believed this? Well, to get us in the right neck of the woods to understand a few things better. By the way, most media make ridiculous claims and guesses about the Catholic Church, and they frustrate this guy something fierce, Mr. Michael Korn, on The Drew Marshall Show. Michael, sir, how are you today?
I'm very well. I'm very well. I just dug out for a long walk. That was nice. And working on a new book, which is not so nice. But, it was very interesting that things come out of Rome in particular through translation, and they're picked up by people who otherwise have no interest in the Roman Catholic Church, and then they're thrown around, and where they drop, they will drop. Of course, the Pope didn't say this. What the Pope said was, the phrase used was meeting or meeting place, and it's a conversation, a Socratic or a Platonic conversation, and someone is asking him questions, and someone says, what about atheists? And he says, oh, yes, we will meet too. And the assumption has been this is that we will meet in heaven. He's not referring to heaven. He's referring to meeting in a place of peace. I mean, what the church teaches, there was a council in the late 15th century. It does teach that there's no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. But what that means is there are many people who may be within the church out of a desire they don't even actually appreciate or understand. Doing good, actually loving Christ, wanting to love Christ, even if you're not completely aware of it. So all he was saying is that we're all created in the image of God, we're all supposed to do good, and if we are trying to do good, even someone who is an atheist may meet a Christian in that place of peace, but that doesn't refer to heaven. He did not say that someone who aggressively rejects God will find heaven. He never even implied it.
Okay, please bear with me. I'd like to just go over this UPI report that came out May 29th. The title is Vatican Reverses Francis, Says Atheists Still Going to Hell. The Vatican retracted Pope Francis' statement that everyone, even the atheists, were saved from sin and redeemed by God and therefore welcome in heaven. People who know about the Catholic Church cannot be saved if they refuse to enter her or remain in her. Vatican spokesman, the Reverend Thomas Rosica, said in an explanatory note. Any issues there yet, Michael?
Well, first of all, Father Tom Rosica, who's a Canadian, does not speak for the Roman Catholic Church. I have to emphasize that.
Okay.
I'm not sure whether they went to him in particular. I suppose he's in English language representing. But, look, it wasn't that the Pope changed his mind. The translation initially, he gives these addresses every week. And, it's been going on for some time now. And the translation was so poor. I don't only blame the media for this. I mean, Vatican Radio. Pope Benedict was once asked how many people work at the Vatican, and he said about half.
Yeah.
And that's, one of the great changes that has to take place is, the Vatican has to be cleansed both of moral corruption and also of sloth. There are many people there who simply don't know their job. And he never said that atheists. So an atheist is someone who aggressively rejects God. Hell, God doesn't send anyone to hell. People send themselves to hell. If you say, I do not want God in my life, I do not want to spend eternity with God, then I'm sure with a broken heart, God has to allow you that choice, because freedom of choice is a basic Christian concept. It's love. It's not an Islamic God. This is the real God, the God of Jesus Christ. And so if you do aggressively say, no, I don't want, you'll be allowed that option. But no one has reversed any position. I mean, it is absolutely laughable that Pope Francis, a brilliant man, a Jesuit, will suddenly say, I've just said something that is completely contrary to fundamental Catholic teaching. I better reverse my position on that. And non-Catholics have the same experience. You know, something will be said by a leader, and it's taken out of context without understanding, and it's thrown across the headlines. And you know, it's enervating, it's irritating, but there's not much you can do in the end.
To continue this article, Francis made headlines when he said May 22nd homily, "The Lord has redeemed all of us, all of us, with the blood of Christ, all of us, not just Catholics, everyone."
We all believe that, everyone. I mean, Jesus died not for one group. Jesus died for every single person on earth. But, of course, there has to be an acceptance of that. And that's fundamental Christian teaching. Jesus didn't just die for the Jews. I mean, that was what was initially proposed by the early Christians. He died for us. It is our thing. And then, no.
But again, I don't believe, Father, I'm an atheist, Francis said, again, speaking as if someone he were somewhere else. But he said, but do good, we will meet one another there.
Yes, there, on the place of peace. That doesn't refer to heaven. Okay. If you read what he says, this is where the confusion came in. He's not saying, but if you do good, we'll meet in heaven. When he says there, if you read that, the whole thing, he's saying, we will meet on the place of peace. That doesn't refer to heaven. He's trying to talk about bridges being built with all sorts of people doing good, but that doesn't mean that atheists go to heaven. It was never intended, never stated.
Okay, Michael Corn on the Drew Marshall Show. Let's talk just quickly about, I don't know if you've seen this video clip yet, of the Pope apparently being involved in an exorcism with a gentleman in a wheelchair. Did you see that?
Oh, of course. That was a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
So, your take on this as well? I mean, you know, it certainly looked like the gentleman in the wheelchair, and according to reports, he's had many exorcisms, so maybe he was sort of predisposed to react in a certain way. He breathed sort of erratically. He sort of twitched and sunk in his chair as Pope Francis was praying over him. What I found more interesting about that video was the those around him, his handlers, their reaction to the whole thing. It looked like people were in a panic mode.
Well, exorcism is entirely valid and essential, and I do believe in spiritual warfare. I believe the reality of the devil. I believe Satan is out there. And yes, I have, in fact, I was received into the Catholic Church in 1985, and the assistant priest at the church where I was received, Father Jeremy Davies, is now the chief exorcist, maybe for all of England, certainly for part of it. Yes, I believe in this. How could we possibly doubt it? This is very interesting because with the Pope, but I don't know if this was a formal exorcism or not. There are certain regulations and stipulations and criteria. But I don't think, the secular world gets very upset at this sort of thing. But it's a reality. If we believe in God, we have to believe in God's direct contrary, that there is evil, that Satan does exist. Hmm. And because it has to be done with great responsibility, obviously. But you know, there is, it's very interesting, every time Hollywood makes a movie about the devil, which is about every 6 months these days, but every time it does, they are surprisingly pro-Catholic. Because the guy who takes on the devil, with all due respect, it's never a United Church minister. You know, I mean, it's never someone who spends most of their time talking about reconciling with the gay community. It's always a Catholic. It's always a Catholic priest. And the movies are very pro-Catholic. So Hollywood spends so much of its time bashing the Catholic Church and Christians in general. When the real bad guy gets involved, and I mean the bad guy, I don't mean the mafia, I don't mean the Russian mob, I mean the devil.
Oh, you mean Rob Ford.
Then the guy is always a Catholic priest, and he's a good guy in the end. So there have been several movies like that. So yeah, I mean, I welcome this. You know what is interesting? When Pope Francis came in, there were some people who did not understand the church who assumed that because he was a Jesuit, because he'd reached out to the poor, that somehow he was going to be liberal. Mm-hmm. It's not about liberalism. I mean, the social justice and a preferential option for the poor and the marginalized is Christian. But this is not liberalism. He believes in good and evil. And many of his sermons have been very shocking to people and actually have been more conservative in a way than what was said by Pope Benedict.
Yeah, he's a walking, I guess, not a contradiction, but, you know, the way he sort of speaks both liberal and conservative language in the same breath, couched in servitude and love.
Well, it's a great, wonderful Christian paradox, and every Christian really would share this, and that is that on the one hand, there are orthodox, unchanging moral values about life and sexuality and so on, but at the same time, simultaneously, that there is a great outreach to the marginalized. And I think we see this in particular around the abortion issue, because that the main victims of abortion these days are in the womb, female, black, brown, and handicapped. These the groups. They're the very people we should be speaking out for, the most vulnerable in society. Now, Christians do that, and non-Christians often are indifferent to the issue. Now, Christianity is never simple. If it was that simple, it would be easy, and it's not supposed to be easy.
Michael, final question for you. I mean, I don't even know if this is the right wording or fair to ask, but here we go. Has your life changed, or how has your life changed since becoming a Catholic?
Well, I came into the church in 85, and then I left for 5 or 6 years in the 90s, going up around 2002, I suppose. I think women find me more attractive now.
Wow.
I see. Has my life
still dealing with delusions, I see.
Yes, exactly. I tell a lot of lies. So. How has it changed? You know, I don't think... The way we conduct ourselves in a Christian manner, our Christian lives, and they're always struggles, and I think the same struggles are there, you know, the same having to deal with a very fallen world, having to deal with our own broken nature, anger, lust, lack of satisfaction, pride. I mean, these are all things that I find the sacraments are incredibly, incredibly helpful, the certainty of what is offered by the church. But these are also things that non-Catholic Christians have always found great comfort in. I mean, there is, you mentioned Rob Ford earlier, and sometimes, and I'm a journalist in mainstream media, but there are times when you look at the stories, you know, Mike Duffy, the Senate, Rob Ford, and you think, good Lord, is this really what the world is about? And then you look at what Christianity offers, the great sweeping realities of salvation and the struggle for justice, and you understand that what really matters is within the context of Christ.
A brilliant article you wrote in March, just one brilliant article that you've written, March 8th, Church Not in a State, Most Canadian Journalists' Comments on Roman Catholic Church Are Off the Mark, and you sort of give this dictionary guide to media speak in regards to church stuff, and here's the phrasing, a few of them. The church is at a crossroads. People don't go to church anymore. The church has to be more democratic. The Pope has to change with the times. The church needs to ordain married men. The abuse scandal has to be fixed. Finally, and this is the best one to, the piece to resistance at the end here, nobody cares about the church anymore. And, of course, Michael Korn, in only his way, of course they don't, which is why there are 5,000 journalists in Rome right now. Amen.
Yeah, that was... It was quite funny. The book I'm working on now has to be finished by the end of the month, really. It's called The Future of Catholicism, which is a very grandiose title. It's really a response to the questions that are always asked. As soon as the new Pope came in, we had all these people saying, will the Church now change? And they don't mean theology. The questions you've been asking are very good ones, but they don't really mean that. What they mean is, will it change its teaching on homosexuality, abortion, contraception, ordination of women, married men? That's what they mean. They always mean that. It's the issues that really concern them on a personal and gut level. And I was on, I think it was the Global Morning Show. A nice enough guy was interviewing me, but he asked me if the church would change on these things. And I said, no, nor is the Pope going to become a Muslim.
Right.
And he didn't understand what I meant. He just didn't get it. He had no sense of humor, but he didn't realize how absurd his questions were. I mean, it would be like, Justin Trudeau, God forbid, becomes prime minister. Will he now make the official language of Canada German? Well, no.
No.
It's an absurd question. Well, why would you ask me if the Pope's suddenly going to say that it's okay for two men to be married? No, he can't do that. It contradicts all of Scripture and the deposit of faith.
Well, I want to let you go, but I've got to ask you this one quick question. It's got nothing to do with what we were just talking about. Next week on our show, Peter Gilmore will be joining us. He is the head of the Church of Satan. If you were in my chair, what would you ask Peter Gilmore?
Well, I don't think I'd let him in the studio, really. I would ask him this, but does he actually believe in committing acts of evil? Because today there are all sorts of people who want their own sense of importance, and so that they want to feel they're intimidating others, and they have a certain esoteric knowledge. You know, it can be as innocuous, I suppose, as Freemasons, and as nasty and vicious as fundamentalist Islam. But the Church of Satan is a modernist idea. There's no Church of Satan. It was invented in the 20th century by a man of very strange sexual mores who did the most appalling things on a personal level, which I can't go into on Christian radio. But it's people who think that they've failed in their other religious aspirations, and so they go into this the Church of Satan. They'll think they'll get lots of easy perverse sex out of it. They think they can wear black a lot and grow a goatee, and they think that somehow it makes them very special. They tend to be very sad people who otherwise have no real outlets and satisfaction in their lives. And then I'm sure we go out for a drink together. No, I mean, it's very bad stuff. He's also putting his soul in direct danger. Unless he changes soon, he will spend eternity in hell.
Michael Korn on the Drew Marshall Show. Always a pleasure to chat with you, mate.
Anytime. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael Korn. Folks, you got to go to his website, follow him, track him down, stalk him, creep on him, whatever you do, Facebook, Twitter, I don't know, whatever he does. MichaelKorn.com, MichaelKorn.com. Short break on our show. When we come back, a little bit of fun, folks. We're going to lighten it up. It's summertime. Hey folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?